Trinadapi sunichena tadar eva sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. Hare nama, hare nama, hare nama eva kivalam. Kalo nastyeva, 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 gatir anyata. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Sri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vridda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. For those of you listening, this is a special, special, special webcast. This is the first time I will have done a webcast from this book known as Sri Govinda Lilamrita, which is subtitled A Day in the Life of Radha Krishna. I am going to pick up from a particular section known as the Sunrise Pastimes. Our first reading is entitled Krishna Arises from Sleep and Goes to the Barn. Bathing in the morning and decorating herself with ornaments, Srimati Radharani, having been invited by Vraja's queen, cooked Lord Krishna's breakfast. When Lord Krishna awoke, he went to the barn, milked the cows, bathed, and then ate breakfast with his friends. Let me take shelter of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. Meditating on the infallible personality of Godhead and filled with the moonlight of pure love for him, Purnamasi completed her early morning duties and quickly went to the palace of Vraja's king. Arriving at the home of Vraja's king, she saw the pleasant courtyard decorated with drops of butter and yogurt from the day's churning activities. The affectionate and jeweled building, she perceived that the entire place was just like Shwetadweep, where Lord Vishnu happily rests on the glistening bed of Anantashesh, who floats on the waves of the milk ocean. Seeing all this, Purnamasi became full of bliss. The learned queen of Vraja personally saw the arrival of austere Purnamasi, and understanding her exalted position, Vraja's queen greeted her with great delight. Mukunda's mother, Yashoda Devi, said, "My dear friend, all of Vraja worships you. Please come here. You are most welcome. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you." As Yashoda approached and offered respects, Purnamasi embraced her. Purnamasi greeted Yashoda with many blessings. She inquired about her welfare, as well as that of her husband, children, and cows. All the while, Purnamasi yearned to see Lord Govinda. Vraja's Queen Yashoda also expressed her well wishes to Purnamasi. The two of them then eagerly entered the bedroom of Yashoda's son, Krishna. At that moment, Krishna's friends, Gobata, Bhadrasena, Subala, Stoka Krishna Arjuna, Sridhama Ujvala Dhamma, Kinkini, Sudama, and others, hastily and happily arrived. Balaram assembled them in the courtyard, and they all called in unison, "O Krishna, wake up and come with us to the cow barn." Madhumangala approached Krishna's bedroom and said, "My friend, is this not the sun rising on the horizon? How is it that our friend Krishna is still asleep?" Madhumangala slowly entered Lord Hari's bedroom and said, "My friend, please wake up." When Lord Krishna heard these words, he wakened. Although he wishes to rise from bed, and although he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he did not have the power to arise immediately. For a moment, he simply rolled about on the bed. Then Mother Yashoda tried to awaken Lord Hari as he slept on his jeweled bed. Her action was just like that of the personified Vedas who awaken Lord Vishnu when he sleeps on the jeweled bed of Anantashesha in a palace within the milk ocean during the time of cosmic devastation. Mother Yashoda sat, resting her left hand on the bed. Leaning over her son, she stroked his body with her right hand. She sprinkled the bed with tears of joy and a stream of milk trickling from her breasts out of motherly affection. She then said, "O my son, give up your sleeping. Awaken and show us your lotus face. O my son, if these Surabhi cows and calves do not see you, they will not allow anyone to milk them. If this happens, your father, reluctant to waken you from your sound and happy sleep, will have to personally go to the barn to reassure them. Wake up, and I shall wash your face. Why are you wearing Balaram's blue garments?" After this statement, Mother Yashoda took Lord Krishna's garments and spoke the following words to the pious Parnamasi. "O noble Parnamasi, just see my son's body as colorfully anointed with red mineral pigments and as delicate as a lotus flower. My son's body has been scratched by the restless boys in their wrestling match. This sight is very painful to me. What shall I do to prevent this sort of thing?" As Lord Murari heard these astonishing, affection-saturated words from his mother, his eyes glistened with shame and fear. Seeing Krishna burning with shame and Mother Yashoda overwhelmed with maternal love, the young Brahmin Brahmachari and master comedian Madhumangala spoke to her the following words. "O mother, to speak the truth, I always try to stop them from playing in this way. Still, Krishna and his friends are both very eager for this kind of sport." Lord Hari, his lotus face smiling to hear this description of his boyhood pastimes, opened his eyes for a moment, glanced at Mother Yashoda, and then closed his eyes again. When Purnamasi had heard from Yashoda's queen this affection-laden description of Lord Krishna's babyhood, childhood, boyhood pastimes, she responded by speaking the following words to the smiling Lord Krishna. My dear intelligent master of Raja, you are certainly very tired because of your endless late night pastimes with the gopis. And for this reason, it is certainly very right for you to continue sleeping. Still, if these Surabhi cows do not see you, they will refuse to offer milk-laden udders to their thirsty calves. For their sake, please wake up, O Prince of Raja, wake up. Just see, your elder brother Balaram, your friends, and your calves, all of them eager to go to the pasture ground, are patiently waiting for you in the courtyard. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This next section, also from the Sunrise Pastimes, is called Krishna Arises from Sleep and Goes to the Barn. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Srivas Adi Gaura Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I forgot to point out in the first section that this book, Govinda Lilamrita, is by the same person who is the author of the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Lord Krishna, whose complexion is the color of a dark tamal tree, raised two clenched fists and stretched his body. Weary from enjoying nectarian pastimes, he yawned, showing the effulgence of his teeth, and then rose from bed. Lord Krishna arose from bed and placed his two lotus feet on the floor. He yawned and stuttered, O noble lady, I offer my respectful obeisances to you. The black ointment decorating Lord Krishna's eyes had become disordered, and some flowers had fallen from his soft, disheveled hair. Overwhelmed with maternal love, Yashoda gathered his hair together and tied it neatly. With her own hand, Mother Yashoda brought clear mountain stream water. She happily washed her son's face and gently dried it, using the edge of her sari as a towel. Taking his flute in his right hand and Madhu Mangal's hand in his left, followed by his mother and the noble Purnamasi, Lord Krishna left his bedroom and entered the courtyard. Filled with love, the cowherd boys rushed to embrace Lord Krishna, some touching his hands, some touching his body, and some touching the edge of his garment. With wide open eyes, they spoke to him. Mother Yashoda then said to Lord Krishna, My son, go now to the barn. Feed the calves, milk the Surabhi cows, and then quickly return home for breakfast. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhara, Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Next part. Krishna arises from sleep and goes to the barn. Sent by Mother Yashoda, Krishna and his friends quickly went to the barn. As they walked on the path, the Brahmin boy comedian Madhu Mangal looked up at the sky and spoke the following words to Lord Krishna. O friend, just see how the fisherman, known as the sun, spreads the nets of his effulgence over the entire sky. Now that the sapphire fishes, which are the stars, have seen this great effulgent fishnet, they have become frightened. They have now disappeared, fleeing in all directions. Thinking the rising sun to be a ferocious lion, the moon has now entered the mountain cave of the western horizon in order to protect its pet deer. Look at the sky. The sky is like a woman who has broken and spilled her necklace of stars. Her newly born child, the moon, has now left for the western horizon, and the mother sky loudly laments. What we take to be the cries of pigeons is actually her wail of suffering. O Krishna, Krishna with a lotus face and lotus eyes, the naturally inauspicious moon is now fleeing from the sky, defeated by your sweetly smiling friend. As they laughed at Madhu Mangal's joking words, the cowherd boys entered the barns of their Surabhi cows. As Lord Krishna entered the Surabhi cow barn with Balaram and Madhu Mangal, he appeared like the moon rising in the evening sky with the planets Venus and Jupiter by its side. Lord Balaram shone with a brilliant white complexion, surrounded by the white Surabhi cows. He appeared just like white elephant Airavata, standing among the Himalayan mountains. As the infallible Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, moved among his Surabhi cows, who gazed at him with upturned faces, Krishna appeared like a bumblebee moving in a garden of white lotus flowers. Lord Krishna repeatedly called the Surabhi cows, addressing each one by name. O Ganga, O Godavari, O Sabali, O Kalindi, O Dhavala, O Dhumra, O Tungi, O Brahmari, O Yamuna, O Hungsi, O Kamal, O Ramba, O Champa, O Karani, O Harani. Sitting beside them and placing his milk pail by their knees, Lord Krishna personally milked some of the Surabhi cows. Some he asked his friends to milk. Some he enthusiastically causes to nurse their calves, and some he pleases with massages and scratching. In this way, the son of Maharaj Nanda enjoys early morning pastimes that delight his Surabhi cows. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Trinadapi Sunichena, Tarariva Sahishnuna, Amanina Manadena, Kirtaniya Sadahari. I will read some more sections, seeing that I still have devotees online. This is still from the same section called Sunrise Pastimes. This part is called The Gopis Dress Srimati Radharani Upon Awakening. Meanwhile, elderly Mukhara awakened and rose from bed. Dripping with nectar of maternal love, she was very eager to visit her granddaughter Radharani's home. Crooked-hearted Jatila, whose heart was filled with desires for her son Abhimanyu's welfare, spoke the following words to Mukhara when she arrived. O learned friend, I request that you always engage my daughter-in-law in the worship of the sun god, so that my son may obtain millions of cows, and in order that his wealth, descendants, and lifespan may all increase. Radharani should carefully perform various auspicious duties, such as bathing and decorating the deity of the sun god. Every day, the learned Purnamasi instructs me, you may disregard the order of ordinary people who do not understand what should actually be done, but you must never disregard the orders of Vraja's Queen Yashoda. O noble lady, your granddaughter is certainly decorated with all auspiciousness. I therefore request you, encourage her in the worship of the sun god, so that my son may obtain great wealth and opulence. Jatila then said to Srimati Radharani, O daughter, please immediately rise from bed, bathe, and offer worship to the sun god. Mukhara repeated again and again, the sun has risen, and still my granddaughter sleeps. Her limbs sprinkled with maternal love, Mukhara entered the bedroom and spoke the following words to Srimati Radharani. My dear lovely child, please wake up and rise from bed. Have you forgotten that today is Sunday? You should take your bath and offer Argya water to the sun god. Awakened by these words, Vishakha slowly rose up and immediately said to Srimati Radharani, friend, wake up. Wake up now. Hearing these words of the three gopis, beautiful Srimati Radharani faintly agreed to rise from bed and then promptly returned to sleep. She moved about on the bed like a regal swan who is passively moved by the ripples in a pond. Being fatigued by the previous night's amorous pastimes, understanding the nature of the situation, Rati Manjari grasped the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani, the queen of Vrindavan. Awakened by all of this, Srimati Radharani rose from her spacious bed. Noticing that her granddaughter Radharani was dressed in exquisite yellow garments, Mukhara became a little suspicious. She spoke the following words. O Vishakha, why is it that your friend Radha's garment is just the yellow garment Krishna wore last night? By some wonderful accident, this pure-hearted girl from a pious family is wearing Krishna's garment. When Vishakha heard these words, she became frightened at heart. With restless eyes, she glanced at her friend Radha's yellow garment. Pointing to the garment, she called out, "Aha! What is this?" And then proceeded to offer the following explanation to the elderly Mukara. "I think your vision is not very good, and because of your bad eyes, the morning sunlight, combined with my friend Radha's golden complexion, have made her blue garment appear yellow. My dear elderly lady, how can you cast such aspersions on this pure-hearted girl?" Then Lalita and the other gopis left their own homes, proceeding so swiftly that they sometimes tripped and stumbled, but they finally arrived at the home of Srimati Radharani. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Final reading for tonight. This one is entitled, "The Gopis Dress Srimati Radharani Upon Awakening." When Srimati Radharani entered the bathing area, she found several maidservants, armed with various toilet accessories, and waiting for the arrival of their mistress. One maidservant placed a wonderfully colorful jeweled throne before her, and Srimati Radharani sat upon it. As Lalita removed the ornaments from her friend Radharani, it appeared as if she were picking clusters of blossoming flowers from a golden vine. Then the two young laundresses, Manjishta and Rangavati, approached their mistress Radharani and took her unwashed garments. Using a mango leaf toothbrush and scented tooth powder, Srimati Radharani brushed her teeth, which chastised the beauty of crystals studded with rubies. Then Radharani took a golden instrument in both hands and cleaned her tongue, and then she rinsed her mouth with water from a golden pitcher handed to her by one of the maid servants. Then Srimati Radharani washed her hands and face, took the bathing garment offered by her maidservants, and entered the bathing place, where there are many golden pitchers filled with water. Srimati Radharani then donned a delicate silk tunic robe. Some expert maidservants approached her and anointed her with fragrant oils. Then the barber's two daughters, Sugandha and Nalini, arrived. They were expert at hairdressing and giving massages with fragrant oils. Then they affectionately massaged Srimati Radharani's naturally splendid and cool limbs with a great quantity of glistening cool Narayan oil. Then they anointed Srimati Radharani's hair and splendid limbs with fragrant ground amalak. And then, using clean silk washcloths and abundant streams of water, washed her body. Dipping golden cups into golden water pots, and pouring the scented water over her body, the gopis bathed Srimati Radharani. Then they dried her limbs and hair with a fine silk towel and dressed her in exquisite garments. In the dressing room, the gopis decorated her with ornaments suitable for the early morning. She appeared as graceful and beautiful as a youthful and amorous goddess of fortune. Lalita then dried Radharani's glistening, curling hair with fragrant incense smoke and combed it with a jewel-tooth comb named Swastida. Lalita decorated Radharani's hair with bakula flowers, strings of pearls, and the splendid jewel that Krishna had taken from the demon Shankachuda. Lalita fixed her braids, tied them with a ribbon, and decorated them with golden jeweled ornaments and red flower blossoms. Chitra dressed Srimati Radharani in a red garment sewn with gold and rubies, and above that she placed the silk garment named Megambara, which is as splendid as a swarm of bumblebees, over this garment, hung two tight braids of curling hair tied with ribbons and decorated with golden and two red flowers. Then, upon Srimati Radharani's hips, Chitra placed a five-colored sash decorated with jewels. There were clusters of flowers at its ends, and there were small bells on a golden string. Vishakha then anointed Srimati Radharani's back, arms, and breast with camphor, aguru, kumkum, and sandalwood. With a steady hand, Vishakha drew the decorations known as Kamayantra on Srimati Radharani's forehead, on her temples, extending down to her cheeks. She drew designs and pictures in musk, and everywhere she placed sandalwood dots. She painted many moons in musk and sandalwood, and she placed a thick line of red vermilion in the part of Srimati Radharani's hair. Using musk paste, Gopi Chitra then drew bunches of flowers, crescent moons, lotuses, dolphins, and mango blossoms on Srimati Radharani's breast. I think that simply by seeing the movement of the two arrows, which are Radharani's eyebrows, Cupid has become languid or exhausted, and Cupid has become helpless. And in this condition, he has laid aside his arrow, bow, and lance, placing them within the treasury room of Srimati Radharani's breasts. I think the fish, blossoming flowers, and crescent moon draws on Srimati Radharani's breasts are actually these weapons of Cupid. Covered by a red bodice, studded with pearls and wonderful multicolored jewels, Srimati Radharani's breasts appeared like two mountains beautifully decorated with a curved rainbow at sunset. Rangadevi then placed on Radharani's ears a pair of gold and emerald earrings. They appeared like a green leaf on a golden palm tree, or like a dark bumblebee in a partly blossomed golden lotus flower. Then Chitra Gopi placed on beautiful Radharani's ears two beautiful golden earrings as splendid as the sun. They each had a large sapphire in the middle, surrounded by rubies and diamonds, and then by many pearls. Using the jeweled stick in her hand, Vishakha placed a dot of musk on Radharani's lovely chin, greatly beautifying Radharani's moon-like face. That dot seemed like a bumblebee perched on the petal of a lotus flower. On the tip of beautiful, large-eyed Radharani's nose, Vishakha then placed a golden pearl ring. Now that pearl chastises the beauty of a ripe labali fruit hanging from a slender stem and bitten by a parrot's beak. Seeing the chakora bird of Radharani's eyes, yearning to drink the splendor of the dark moon of Lord Krishna's face, Vishakha anointed Radharani's eyes with black mascara, which was the personification of the beauty of Lord Krishna's transcendental form. A golden line on lotus-eyed Radharani's neck, Vishakha became afraid, thinking it to be the imprint of Lord Hari's hand. She immediately covered that golden line with many jewel necklaces. Vishakha then placed in the hollow of Radharani's neck a golden locket studded with diamonds and sapphires, and was formed in the shape of a large-bellied swan whose beak is tied with a string. Vishakha then took the fine pearl necklace named Gostana and placed it around Radharani's neck and breast. This necklace has a glistening sapphire flanked by two gold beads as its central gem. Vishakha then placed a necklace of gold beads, sapphires, moonstones, rubies, pearls and corals all around Radharani's neck and breast. Vishakha then placed on Radharani's neck and breast a wonderful pearl necklace that had a gold locket flanked by two lapis lazuli stones. Pleased by her singing and dancing during the midnight rasa dance, Lord Hari had given Radharani a royally opulent necklace of gunja. Vishakha then placed that necklace around Radharani's neck and breast. Vishakha then placed a necklace of splendid pearls around Radharani's neck. These pearls appeared like a moon and many beautiful large stars decorating the evening sky of Srimati Radharani's breast. Around Radharani's neck and breast, Vishakha then placed four glistening, slender chains of gold, diamonds, rubies, and sapphires. Hanging down from her back, Radharani's braids are decorated with flowers, tied with ribbons, and pressed by the cluster of necklaces at her neck. I think these braids are actually a serpent climbing a staircase mercifully created by the demigod Brahma from the foothills of Srimati Radharani's hips up to the mountain summit of her head. Upon Radharani's arms, Vishakha then placed a flower garland and a blue ribbon and the golden armlets named Hari Rangada, which were studded with nine kinds of gems. Lalita then decorated Radharani with many artfully fashioned glistening sapphire bracelets. These bracelets were more beautiful than the charming sight of a swarm of black bees gathered around the stem of a red lotus flower to sip the honey there. Lalita then placed a pair of golden bracelets among these sapphire bracelets. These golden bracelets appeared like the outer halo of the suns and the moons during an eclipse. Lalita then placed on Radharani's wrist a bracelet made of many ribbons with glistening golden drum-shaped charms. Lalita then placed on Radharani's finger a signet ring decorated with various jewels and carrying the inscription, Radha. This ring decimates and slays the happiness of Radharani's rivals. Vishakha then fastened two sets of wonderfully golden jeweled anklets above Radharani's lotus feet. The tinkling of these anklets resembles the pleasant cooing of Chataka birds. Simply by hearing these tinkling sounds, the swan of Lord Krishna's mind has become enchanted and lost all its composure. Vishakha then placed on Radharani's ankles two sets of glistering jeweled bells. These bells seem to be the music teachers of the gently cooing swans in the Yamuna River. Sudevi Gopi then placed various glistening jeweled rings on Radharani's toes. These rings were fashioned with such wonderful artistic craftsmanship that they astonished even the creator Brahma. Then, at the moment of sunrise, Narmada, the daughter of a florist, gave a toy lotus flower to her friend Vishakha. Vishakha's lotus face lit up with a smile, and she then placed that toy lotus flower in the lotus hand of lotus-eyed Radharani. Then, at precisely the opportune moment, the barber's daughter Sugandha placed a mirror before Srimati Radharani. Radharani then turned to the mirror and gazed at the form she had so carefully dressed and ornamented to please the eyes of Sri Krishna. Just as all beautiful women dress themselves to gain the glances of their lovers, Radharani then trembled with longing to meet her lover, Krishna. Thus ends the second chapter of Govinda Lilamrita in the matter of the Lord's sunrise pastimes. So that'll be it for today. Thank you for attending this very special class.